Welcome to the Quest Bowl.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to a special, super special bonus episode. Why is it special? Because we only do them one a year. Impossible to do more than one a year for stuff like this.
We could, but it'd be difficult.
It would be
ever changing.
It would be ever changing. It would be terrible. There's a reason why it's done once a year. And that is our best of bonus episode. If you couldn't tell by the title, which I believe is probably best of 2014 bonus episode, that's what we're doing. That's what we're talking about. Drew Sakagra, how's it going?
What up, bro?
I'm Chris Crespo. Forgot to introduce us.
We don't necessarily exist, per se.
We are disembodied voices in a room. We're a couple computers. The secret's out.
Not even in a room, Chris. We're in a box.
The secret is out. Drew and I. Oh, a little fuzzy there. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be careful there. Drew and I are. We're just computer simulations. We are the Sims.
Man.
We are Tron.
We're some really dumb computers.
That's how they program us to make us sound more human. That's why all the faults are built into the programming.
Okay.
That's the whole point. But for some reason now we're finally letting that cat out of the bag. All the pictures that you see online, those are two actors who they
are
found.
Not us.
They're not us. They're actually a couple of Russian nationals who are here doing the Lord's work. So we're doing the best of. Enough of that. We don't have that much time. And yet we have a lot of information. That always seems to be the problem with any Cinema Crespinisto episode. Lots of info, a little time. So
little time? Good Lord. These episodes can go on for
saying. That's what I'm saying. No, it's not gonna. We don't have that much time. I got about to the end of this beer here.
Okay.
Because by the end of it, it's 9.7%. You know, it's going to be a...
slurring.
I'm not going to be functioning...
That's right. We've only got, what, like 30 movies to go through each?
There's a decent amount of overlap.
Whole lot of overlap.
We went over our list.
Our lists are very similar.
Up until... Look, let me point this out. The last couple of years, our top 10s have been extremely similar.
Yeah.
I think we even picked... Did you do Drive and Her 2 years ago, like me? Because I did Drive and Her.
Yeah.
Or no, there was something before Her. I can't remember. Our top 10s were very similar, even ordering and stuff. This year, there is a lot of the same movies, but our top 10s are kind of
different.
They're like 30% different, and the ordering is
in all reality, our top 25 movies, we still, for all intents and purposes, it's almost the same list, just in different orders.
So what we're going to do, we got top 25s, plus we're also going to talk about the ones that almost made it. We'll start with those.
I don't have those.
Oh, we'll just talk about super quick. But we'll kind of fly through 25 through 14.
Okay.
All right, we won't spend that much time on those. When we get to 13, that's when Billy D is going to start chiming in.
All right.
Because I got his top 13 as well as his bottom 5. You got a bottom 5?
I got a bottom 8.
Bottom 8? I like it. We'll get to, we'll do the worst stuff at the end of the episode. Go out with a bang. Because that's always fun.
Yep.
Talking shit. So here we go. I'm going to start, let's just start at, for me, the movies that almost made my top 25, they're like right on the cusp. The ones that got bumped out because like I saw a couple movies in the last couple weeks, you know. I'm talking about movies like Calvary. With Brendan Gleeson, which we talked about months and months ago. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, that almost made my list.
Almost made mine. I mean, it was like right there on the cusp. Same thing with right below that for me would be X-Men Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
And what else came out during the summer? There was something else. It's a steep thing right now. Maybe I should have. I have some over here. Let's see. This is an old list. What about you?
A Most Violent Year, which we just saw, almost made the list.
Almost made the list for you? Okay.
So
you liked it quite a bit, but not enough to crack the top 20.
Noah almost made the list.
Noah's one that I keep forgetting to even consider. But I think that reflects then how much I truly like the movie.
Yeah.
If it's not sticking with me enough to even remember it,
mm-hmm.
then really, yeah, that's like in the 30s for me.
Exodus, Gods and Kings almost made the list.
Yeah, that one was a little... Yeah,
strictly for... There's only one reason why.
Mm-hmm.
Only one reason. Their portrayal of the God figure.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha on that one.
Get On Up almost made my list as well.
Oh, that's another one that I like quite a bit. Yes. A
good movie.
Chadwick Boseman got no love for his portrayal of James Bond.
James Brown.
No, he's James Bond. That's his secret. That's his actor's secret. He's playing James Brown as if he's James Bond. No, you're right. What did he just sign on to do? I think, is he Black Panther? I think Chadwick Boseman might be Black Panther.
I could see that.
I think he is. Like that great movie, but that's another one where, like Noah, I liked it quite a bit, but if I forgot about to even trying to include it mm-hmm. in the top 25 list,
yeah.
then, I mean, really...
It speaks volumes.
Yeah, exactly. Movie's good, but not good enough. Oh, that's a good one. See, I knew you would remember one or two that I would forget about. All right, well, jumping into a top 25.
Yeah.
Let's see. Who want to go first? You got a coin? Grab a coin there real quick. Remember, go to chriscrespo.com. Follow us on Twitter at CrespoDiso. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/CinemaCrespo. So check out the show Instagram.com/CinemaCrespo. So as a matter of fact, you know what?
Let's just do paper, rock, scissors.
Okay, but real quick, guys, while this is on the top of my brain, if you want some stickers, email us CinemaCrespo@gmail.com.
We got plenty.
We got tons of stickers, two kinds. I'll send you both. Email us and then share them with us, and we will share them on the Instagram page and on Twitter and all that. Drew can't find a coin. We're going to do rock, paper, scissors. 1, 2, 3, shoot.
Correct.
And we're going to shoot on shoot, and we're only going to do one and done.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and whoever wins goes first or last?
Sure, first.
Goes first.
Okay.
Ready, set, shoot. No, I fucked it up.
One, two, three, shoot.
I did the same thing anyway, so Drew wins. Yeah, rock, right. I got scissor, I fucked it up. So, what was your number 25?
Calvary.
Okay.
Almost made your list, made mine.
There you go, yeah. Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a good movie. Mm-hmm. It was really tight. It's one of those, like, really small...
It's a small little character piece, but it's Brendan Gleeson. Brendan Gleeson's awesome, and just everything about it was good.
And the other people in it, too, were good. Chris O'Dowd.
Yeah.
And, was there anyone...
Whoever the redhead was.
The redhead. Mm. Calvary's a good one. My 25, number 25, is Fury.
All right. Almost made my list.
So that is an intense fucking movie,
man. It was
man.
War as hell.
War as hell. It's really, really well made. I like...
Shia LaBeouf's awesome.
Shia LaBeouf's awesome. Michael Pena, Brad Pitt. It's a great cast. I think David Ayer's style really went well with the war thing. Mm-hmm. How come there's Fury, there's Unbroken? How come those movies aren't getting any regard? They're in the same vein as American Sniper. Anyway, talk about that another
number,
time.
Number 24, Citizen 4.
Yes. Documentary about...
Edward Snowden. Yeah.
And man, what...
That was crazy.
What foresight.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to contact this...
These people and do it this way. Like, seriously, I have much more respect, A, for the man, and B, for what he did, strictly because of how he went about doing it.
Yeah.
He wasn't just some douchebag who went out there and did all this stuff.
So like, let me put out these secrets.
He sat down with some really fucking important people and some people who knew how to disseminate information properly.
And they talked about all the aspects of it.
They talked about everything.
You get a pretty good idea of why he's wanting to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Really good. Really good. Really good stuff. My 24 is Joe. Shout out to my brother.
Joe's good.
Joe. Nicolas Cage. Yep. David Gordon Green movie.
Yep.
David Gordon Green, he started with these small little American movies, American dramas, and he was considered like the next Terrence Malick with his style. Movies like George Washington, Undertow, All the Real Girls, all great movies. Mm-hmm. No Angels. And then all of a sudden, Hard Left. Stoner comedies with Pineapple Express. Your Highness.
Yep.
The Sitter. Right? He worked a ton on Eastbound and Down, which I like all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I kind of miss the...
The other side.
The David Gordon Green that made these nice little tight dramas, these character films that like, were a little quirky and you know, definitely had that kind of Malagi feel to him.
Well, that's Joe.
His last couple movies, Joe and Prince Avalanche, both had that, like, really small little thing going for them. I think Joe's even better than Prince Avalanche. Nicolas Cage is great. Yeah. It's one of those movies that reminds you, because he does so much shit.
He does.
And sometimes he's not like Gene Hackman. Even when if he does shit, sometimes he's bad in that shit, too.
Mm-hmm.
He's not always good. He's good in Joe.
Yes.
He's quite good. A good movie. Great movie. Very good. Number
23, X-Men Days of Future Past.
Hey, all right, so it made yours.
Made my list.
It's good.
It is.
I haven't revisited, though, since I've seen it in theaters. Like I really haven't wanted to be like, hey, let's rent that. Let's get that on Redbox or something. You know? I mean, I saw it, I remember.
When it's on HBO or whatever, I'll definitely watch it again.
Oh, yeah, I'll watch it again, HBO. Yeah. My 23, pretty similar. Gojira.
Oh, very nice. Almost made my list. Almost
made yours. Yeah, Godzilla was...
it was good.
And it's weird how it's one of those divisive ones. A lot of people straight up didn't like it.
Yeah.
Which I think maybe that's more the mark of... It's a distinctive film. It went at it with a style and with a purpose. And some people were like, fuck that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fuck that there's only 8 minutes of Godzilla total. And it's 2 hours. Doesn't
matter.
But I think that's what makes it great.
Yeah.
You know, that you know the whole less is more, even wanting more, that type of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, he's making a Godzilla 2. That one's going to be pretty much a remake of, what's the one? The Island of Monsters. It's just going to be like a monster fucking crazy orgy fest.
Sweet.
So that movie's
so it's like a Royal Rumble of monsters.
Yeah, Royal Rumble. It's coming. We're going to get it. I like this more, I don't want to call it minimalist approach.
Mm-hmm.
This more understated Godzilla movie, I think, was fucking tight.
Well, in the 8 minutes that you do get Godzilla, he does some awesome shit.
It's all so good. It makes you, it leaves you wanting more.
Yeah.
You know, I love at the end when he's showing him on the they did a lot of showing him on like news footage and TV screens instead of actually showing him, which was genius. And the last one when he's walking away, going back into the water, and then it's a question at the bottom of the screen: King of all monsters? Like, yes,
yes, King of all monsters. He just ripped off that motherfucker's head and blew fire down his throat.
So good. That one I want to revisit.
Number 22, Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, okay, yeah. Fucking. Tom Cruise,
Emily Blunt.
Is that your
crazy time travel nonsense?
You know what? Doing my lists, I realized I had a decent amount of science fiction on.
I had a lot of science. I was surprised at how, like, a lot of the movies on my list were very small movies that didn't necessarily make a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, a good amount of. Yeah, exactly. Weird how that works.
No.
Weird that there's not, like, a Transformers on here.
Yeah, no.
How does that work? Actually, though, my, what are we on, 22?
22.
My numbers got fucked up here because this is an old list
it's okay.
I'm trying to work with.
22.
My 22 is similar, another summer movie, but this one did fucking, it went to the bank, it opened up all the accounts, it deposited all the money, and it's still making it.
Guardians?
Like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Guardians is good.
It is, it was awesome.
I was never skeptical. You could go back and check the shows and listen in the past. I was never skeptical about the quality of the movie. I knew it was going to be good because it seemed like the perfect fit, James Gunn and these characters. But I never thought it would. Pretty much the second highest grossing film of 2014 could drop to 3 if American Sniper keeps making money. That's possible. But still, people were talking about how this could be the first Marvel flop. And it's arguably, outside of Avengers,
the
their
best.
Biggest success.
Yeah. Well,
just because of what it is.
As far as I'm concerned, it's one of the better Marvel movies.
Oh, it is. Yes. Yeah, I would put it on like the top 3
for Marvel movies. Easily.
For sure. Yeah. So, yeah, Guardians is good. I'm a little bullish on people. Some people think it's really, really good. I don't think it's that good. I think it's good. I think it's solid.
Good.
But it's my 22.
Yeah.
I think that's quite good.
Yeah.
Good showing there.
Number 21, Selma.
Boom! MLK.
Some of that. It was seriously strictly David Oyelowo. That motherfucker got me.
He's good, man.
He's
been good for
me.
A while, but that's like his first real showcase.
Yeah, like I said, he got me.
He did it, apparently, Benedict Cumberbatch. Side note, I just read this today. Benedict Cumberbatch recently, in an interview, said how... his quote was how colored actors get more opportunities in the U.S. than they do in the U.K.,
okay.
Backlash. Boom. Hits him. Why, Drew?
I don't know why.
Because they used the word colored.
Oh, colored.
People are like, colored? What is this, 1950s, 1960s?
What, you want to call them black?
Well, that is, I think that's more, that is more acceptable, you know, but still. David Oyelowo then comes out, fellow Englishman,
yeah,
and says, hey, yo, get off this guy's back. How come, in America for sure, it's cool to say people of color, but you can't say colored? We're a distinction. How do you draw that line? I know this guy. He's cool, you know. He came to back up old Benny, and then he also said what he said is true. There's more opportunities in the U.S. for actors of color than they are in the U.K., which is interesting because people always think, you know, Europe a little more progressive. They've been around longer, a little less racist, but the racism over there is even crazier than it is here.
You know, I don't know why, but now I want to see Benedict Cumberbatch and David Oyelowo in a comedy together.
And a buddy comedy. Yes. Let's have them remake Lethal Weapon. That'd be great. But let's switch it up. Oyelowo, he's Riggs.
Okay.
Benedict Cumberbatch, he's the old Murtaugh.
Okay.
That he's ready to retire.
I was thinking more like Trading Places.
Okay. But again, let's flip it, though.
Okay, that's fine.
Oyelowo, yep. The stockbroker.
Okay, the black stockbroker. Gotcha.
And Cumberbatch. The street hustler.
Yes, I like it. I like it. Isn't it a great movie? These things write themselves, Chris.
How are we not? Where's the money? How are we not making movies? I don't understand this. This makes no sense. We are on this. My 21, we already talked about it, Citizen 4. Fucking loved it.
It's awesome. It was, great.
Great movie, guys. I don't think it's out on DVD yet.
I don't think so, but it's something. If you have any sort of opinion on that situation,
on the world at large, at politics,
you should see that movie.
Surveillance state, Big Brother. Yes, absolutely. Yes, it pertains to you directly. If you have a smartphone, an email, it pertains to you. Number 20, Drew.
Guardians of the Galaxy. We already talked about it.
All right, there you go. It's good.
It made my top 20. Yeah. So,
I mean, honestly, for me, really, the severed, floating head of an ancient dead god in
pretty
outer
awesome.
Space that then they turn into a mining facility.
Pretty awesome.
That right there sold me on, all right, I get what this movie is trying
to
do. This is awesome. I wish it didn't succumb to some of the same Marvel tropes that all the movies do, but
it's that. Marvel. Dude, I told you it was going to be weird. When I heard that they were making this movie, go back, listen to the early episodes.
Go back, people, go back. Check the tape.
When I fucking called this shit.
Called
I
it.
Told you it was going to be a weird-ass movie, but it had the potential to be really cool.
And it was. And it was, for sure. My number 20, Only Lovers Left Alive.
Ah, very nice.
Mr. Jim Jarmusch, his vampire movie.
It's about higher on my list.
Is it really? Okay. Yes. So we'll talk about it when we get to yours.
Okay.
What's your number
19? 19, Gone Girl.
Yes. Yes, Gone Girl's quite good.
It was really, I was surprised that Ben Affleck could actually act.
You know, I mean,
he's done a lot of shit.
He's the type of guy.
He's a better director than he is an actor. Did it though. He was good in this movie.
I think he's the type of guy where it depends on who's working with him, who's directing him. I think he can be directed into bad performances and into good performances, and that's how it's been. So it was something like Geely. You know, where there's no real good direction on the set. Martin Brest is a good director, but I mean, the guy's best movie was Beverly Hills Cop. It was like 1984. 20 years later, Geely is a piece of crap, and he's bad in it. He's doing a bad accent. No one has the balls to tell him.
Stop
that shit. But David Fincher, he'll fucking tell you that.
Yo, stop that shit.
What are you doing? What is this? Stop this shit. I'm David Fincher. My 19, Grand Budapest Hotel. Budapest.
Very nice.
I
made it much higher on my list.
Much higher on yours. I think it's a great movie. It's a lot of fun. Doesn't even make my top three Wes Anderson movies. You know, I mean, Royal Tenenbaums hit me.
I mean that.
Here, Rushmore is one of the great American comedy coming of age movies ever.
Agreed. Agreed, agreed, agreed. I have a thing for Ralph Fiennes.
Oh, sure.
And him saying fuck a lot.
We'll talk about that when we get to yours. When we get to your numbering for Grand Poobah. Number 18.
18, Inherent Vice.
Ah, okay. All right, yeah.
Yeah.
What did you think about it? Because you just saw it for the first time a couple days ago.
Yeah, I mean, I
still kind of fresh on it.
I enjoyed it. It's a P.T. Anderson movie.
Yep.
So.
Through and through.
If that's not what you're looking for.
Oh. No, don't worry about that. No,
okay.
No, wait.
Anyway.
I can't stop it. It's on automatic. I know, the randomizer.
But yeah, no, but I mean, it's a P.T. Anderson movie, so if that's not the kind of movie, whether you know him or not, if that's not the kind of movie you're looking for, I mean, I like Paul Thomas Anderson. I like the work that he does.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, sometimes some of his stuff kind of drags a little bit.
It can.
And like I said, it was his Zodiac, so I can't not be interested in it.
I love, you know? I even in my, I already wrote my review, and that was posted one by the time you saw the movie.
Yeah.
But I love Stoner Zodiac so much that I put that in my actual top 25 when I talk about the movie. Yeah. My Stoner top 25, Zodiac. I'm like, Stoner Zodiac.
It is.
And then I gave you credit for it too. It's in there, so don't worry about that, because yeah. I love that. That's great.
It is. Yeah. It is kind of, it's because it's, you know, it's totally a, you know, a police procedural of sorts.
Yeah.
It's just a fucking burnout, man.
Yeah, yeah. It's a PI doing his thing.
Mm.
And whatever drugs come around,
let's do it.
He's like, oh, maybe
some of this, a little bit of that,
maybe a little of that for the road,
doctor. Yeah.
Dr. Blatnoid. My 18, American Sniper.
Okay,
you didn't get the chance to see. It's with the money that movie's fucking making. It's gonna be around. We said the same thing with The Hobbit.
We still haven't seen it,
but that it's not like anyone likes that movie. No one's clamoring for us to see it.
I mean,
as a matter of fact, Mr. Nathan hit us up on Twitter, and he was like, this movie's so fucking underwhelming.
Eventually, I have to see it just to finish it.
Eventually. I think that's going to be as sad as it is. I think it's going to have to be like a HBO. Just wait for it. Which is the antithesis of the other Lord of the Rings movies. Those movies had it on the biggest screen possible.
Oh my God, so Return good. Of the King!
The Hobbit movies actually make me want to go back and watch the Lord of the Rings
trilogy. They do, because they're good.
And
The Lord of the Rings is good.
To confirm that it's good.
But The Hobbit is not.
Like, was I really interested in this? Why did I sit through this the first time around and not this? I got a tangent. American
Viggo
Sniper.
Mortensen.
Viggo. Maybe we're just missing some Viggo. I fucking love Viggo. You know who's turning into a young... You know who's turning into Viggo Mortensen?
Who?
Garrett Hedlund. The dude who was the lead in Tron Legacy.
Okay.
Not very Viggo-ish in that movie. But in this last few films, Inside Llewyn Davis, I saw him he's in a trailer for something coming out. He is very... Far From the Maddening Crowd, that period movie.
Yeah.
He is very Viggo-looking.
Interesting.
Young American Viggo. American Sniper, it's good. It's very well made. I think that how polarizing it is in terms of now it's become a cultural war, which is sad because it's a piece of art and people are trying to appropriate it for other things.
Art does that to people.
Art does do that, though. That is the power of art and the power of cinema. So that shows how good the movie is. It is striking a chord, for sure. It definitely made my top 20 at number 18. You can go to chriscrespo.com and read my review. And also check out my Twitter. I am Chris Crespo. I got a bunch of American Sniper-related tweets, retweets, tweeting about articles, stuff like that. It's an interesting conversation going on out there, for sure. So what's your number 17?
Lock.
That's one. Did I mention Lock earlier? Lock is one that almost made. That was like my number 28, 29 for me.
I mean, it had to be on the list simply because it was... Literally, it was Tom Hardy in a car, and I was interested the whole time.
Isn't that amazing? And then even when you try to describe to people what's unfolding?
Yeah. Everyone's like, what? Seriously?
Outside the infidelity, it's not that exciting on paper.
No, it's not, but it is.
It's so good. It's crazy. Shout out to Black Hasselhoff. Forget that your radio. He hit me up. Saw that movie. He was like... What
garbage.
The fuck?
Yeah. Of course.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And you know, and I would not ever fault anyone for having that reaction to that movie, because it is pretty singular in its style. Either you're into it or you're not. I think a lot of that has to be if you're a Tom Hardy fan.
I like Tom Hardy.
That works. So I'm down with seeing 90 minutes of
him in a car.
Hardy. And it's not like the first time ever there's been a movie like that. Philip Baker Hall, the older actor, he was in P.T. Anderson's first movie, Hard Eight, and Magnolia. He was the dying father. Not Jason Robards. He was an old guy. If you saw him, you recognize him. He did a movie in the 70s called Secret Honor.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Robert Altman movie, I think, and it's an hour and a half of him as Richard Nixon sitting behind a desk answering phone calls, and it's only his side of the conversation, and monologuing.
Only his side? Man, I wish I... Give me the other... Let's remake it with somebody else and give me the other side of the conversation.
The other side of the conversation.
I want both. I want both sides.
Yeah, we put them together. My 17, you mentioned it earlier, A Most Violent Year.
Yes.
I liked it quite a bit.
It was good.
As I was watching the movie, I had to admit to myself that it was the style of the movie was doing certain things that were like right in my preference wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. A lot of, you know, like classic filmmaking, like Steven Soderbergh style in terms of the camera hardly ever moves.
Yeah.
Unless a character is moving or it's trying to capture movement. It's very, everything's very set, mm-hmm. Which I appreciate. No one does that anymore. And that takes a lot of discipline and pre-planning and just skill.
Yeah.
To make a movie like that. I love the color palette, the muted, the oranges yeah. and the browns. I loved the music, the droning 80s synthy thing. And then I read online after we saw the movie, I checked it out, about the composer, mm-hmm. and he was like, very consciously, he went back to 80s movies, 70s movies, synth heavy scores, and the whole point of that was to call back to that shit, which
yeah.
it's like that Michael Mann stuff. I love yeah. that garbage, you know? It's right up my alley. And then it's like a gangster movie, but it's an inversion of yeah. a gangster movie, you know? We'll talk about it, I think. We'll save a full review for episode 108,
whatever
we're doing this weekend. But that made my number 17 for sure.
Nice.
So 16, Drew, go.
Nightcrawler.
Yes.
Jake Gyllenhaal. Such a dark, twisted, fucked up little movie. And that was the second dark, twisted, fucked up little movie I saw Gyllenhaal in this year.
Oh, the you're talking about Enemy?
Yes.
Where he was the... That's the
he was both.
Yeah.
It was fucking weird, man.
That was the movie he made with the guy who he worked on with Prisoners. Yeah. Dennis Villeneuve, something like that.
Some of that.
French-Canadian, I believe.
No.
Canadian for sure. Maybe French Canadian,
but it was good.
He made
it
take
was,
offense to that.
It was dark. It was twisted.
Yeah,
it was kind of funny at times.
Oh, for sure.
And Gyllenhaal was doing his crazy thing, which he does very well.
Yeah,
so
crazy eyes,
literally right up my alley.
When,
all that stuff.
When Gyllenhaal breaks out crazy eyes,
I'm in.
We're in for a good time.
Yeah,
yeah. My 16. Jodorowsky's Dune.
Oh, made it much higher on my list.
All right, well, then we'll save it for when we get to your higher point, because I definitely want to talk about it. What's your 15?
John Wick.
Yes.
John Wick.
John Wick. The John Wick.
Why? Because it's fucking John Wick. I mean, I was struggling with it because in all reality, it's a pretty... When you talk about it, it's a pretty awful movie.
Oh, I mean, it's, on paper?
On paper.
Yeah.
It's garbage. But then you see it.
They steal his car and kill his puppy, and he goes on a murderous rampage.
Exactly, but then you see this movie, and it's like, this is really good.
Yeah, you know, I think it comes out on DVD next week.
I'm looking forward to that.
So we're going to have to red box that shit.
Oh, yeah, I want to watch John Wick again.
Yeah, I'm down for seeing that again.
That was fun.
John Wick. My 15, we already talked about a little bit, Gone Girl.
Okay.
Damn good.
Yes.
I mean, it's damn good.
It was.
Trent Reznor score.
Yes.
We didn't mention it last time. His thing was like, wah, 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 wah. The background is piano. I love that shit.
Hell yeah.
So good. 14, go.
Blue Ruin.
Oh, Blue Ruin. Much higher on my list.
Yes.
So we'll save it. That one's much
definitely
higher. 14 for me. And for a while, actually, for the first... Up until the summer? Until the end of the summer? Let me go over this. Yeah. One of my... up until summer, my favorite fucking movie of the year. Hands down.
Lego movie.
Goddamn Lego movie.
Yeah.
So good.
It was. It's higher on my list, but yeah.
It's higher on yours. Yeah. Even when I watched it on HBO recently, like I was like doing some work on the computer, flipping through the TV. I was like, oh, Lego movie's on. Let me put it on for background.
Exactly.
10 minutes later,
you're watching.
I'm watching. Straight up watching.
I saw it in theaters, and then I showed a friend.
Ah.
And rented it. And then, like I said, then it came on HBO, and it was on again, and I was just like, okay, I'll watch it. Why not? And now it's just one of those movies
It's just, yeah, it's so good.
No.
Fucking
Lord, Lego movie.
Lord Miller. You're so good. That brings us up.
Speaking of Lord Miller, one that almost made my list, 22
Jump Street. Yes. That's great.
Why? Because it's a comedy sequel that worked.
Which is
unheard of.
Yeah, absolutely. So if anyone can make a 21 Jump Street Men in Black crossover work.
I want to see it. I want to see it.
It would be Lord Miller.
I want to see Channing Tatum and fucking Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith. And I don't really care about Jonah Hill, but whatever.
I like Jonah Hill. You don't really care about him?
No.
I like him.
I'm really looking forward to the new Will Smith movie that I keep seeing trailers for.
Focus?
With the hot chick from Wolf of Wall Street.
Margot Robbie.
She is
seriously hot.
I don't have a I usually don't like blondes, but good lord, that woman.
She's insanely hot, but in Australia, they kind of grow them like that on trees.
Well, we need to go to Australia then.
We kind of do. It's on the other side of the world, but
whatever.
We have a couple of listeners in Australia.
We need to go.
Hey, mates. Yeah, that movie does look really interesting.
Yeah.
Really interesting.
I don't know who directed it,
but very interesting. All right. 13. That brings in Billy D.
Yes.
Billy D is joining the conversation via email style. So here we go. He has a little intro here before we get into it. He writes, Billy D's many deaths of 2014.
Of course.
Happy hashtag SnowMG2015, friends. Because he's up there. And, yeah, you know, he's our New York City correspondent. He's in Brooklyn. I'm hunkered down here in Brooklyn at Fort Awesome. That's a news radio reference for you really cool people out there. Sipping on some coffee and watching the snow creep higher. I've got The Thing, The Shining, and Fargo queued up on the projector. And a lot of time today. This could get wordy. I saw a metric fuck ton of movies this year. Something like 500, maybe more. I lost count in August. That's more than I saw.
Good lord, Bill.
They were the best and worst attempts the movie industry made on my life this year. I welcome you to The Many Deaths of Billy D at the Movies 2014, colon. Just wanted to make Drew say colon something at the movies. I'm expecting you to read this.
Colon.
Got you on that one, Billy. We mixed it up. Let's do this. Almost forgot. There are in no particular order. I have his bottom five worst. Here we go. Number 13 for Billy D. Open Windows. The post on this movie is truly a work of art. Nacho is a mad genius. More of him, less of anything else. He's talking about Nacho Vigalondo, the guy who did Time Crimes.
Ooh, Time Crimes was awesome.
Time Crimes is so fucking good. Which hasn't been on Netflix for a while.
So amazing.
God. People, if you can see Tim and Crimmins.
Tim and Crimmins.
No, isn't it Chrono Crimmins? Is it Tim and... No, it's Chrono Crimmins.
I forget.
You son of a bitch. Los Chrono Crimmins. If you... People, Time Crimes. See it.
Yeah.
That I really... Now, just talking about it makes me want to see it.
It is. It's awesome.
Nacho Vigalondo did a movie with... what's his name? Frodo. Elijah Wood.
Okay.
Where the whole movie is like through like you're the camera on a computer. It's like from that perspective.
Okay.
And all the action plays out like you're watching it through a computer screen.
Okay.
And apparently I've read that it's fucking amazing.
Wow.
Amazing. It made Billy's number 13 of the year. Dude saw over 500 movies.
Yeah, we didn't get a chance to see that.
So we definitely that's one I've been waiting for, haven't had a chance to see it yet. Open Windows. That's a good one, really. Drew.
13 Chef.
Oh, yes. Chef, is that? That's one. That's one that almost made my 25.
Yes.
Because it's good.
It's really good. And, you know, I mean,
and you know what? You have the insider perspective on the kitchen.
Yeah.
And even, like, just through knowing you and watching some shit on TV, I could tell that they were nailing some of the details of working in the kitchen.
Totally, 100%. And that's why I liked it so much, because there aren't many movies that do that properly.
I also liked how it was a mixture of genres.
Yeah.
There was some food porn.
Oh, yeah.
It was a road movie.
Uh-huh.
Comedy, obviously. Yes.
Family drama,
yes. And it all worked.
Yeah.
It all worked. Jon Favreau's a pretty good filmmaker. If you know, I'm going to go out on a limb and say after Iron Man and Chef, he's a pretty good filmmaker, this guy. This Jon Favreau.
Whoever he is.
this guy who used to be fat and then was fat again. Well, after you get rich, you know it's hard not to be fat.
Yeah.
If you have a proclivity to be fat and then you make a lot of money,
you're going
to
be fat.
You are fat for life. You can get yourself a stomach stapling thing and you will find your way back to fat.
Mm-hmm.
My 13, we already talked about it, is John Wick.
Ah, very nice.
It's so good.
It is.
I would say, let me look at my list. Pretty much the second best action movie, straight up action movie of the year. The other one's even sci-fi. The number one straight up action movie.
The
number
best.
One. Yeah. A dude with a gun fighting people and running around killing people.
Yeah.
The best.
The best.
The style of it. Keanu
Everything.
Reeves. Keanu Reeves is like, oh yeah, I can be a badass.
He can. I believe it.
I do, right? Oh man, I hope they make a John Wick 2.
Me too. I want to see him kill a lot more people.
Yes. Yes, people. Go see John Wick when it comes on DVD. I hope like other movies, you know, little movies that we talk up a lot and people don't see right away, yeah, and then they get onto it on DVD. I hope we get a lot of tweets, a lot of Facebook messages about how awesome John Wick is.
It is.
Which we've been talking about since October. The end of October,
that's
that movie
when
came
we
out.
Saw it.
Oh, yeah. Number 12. Here we go. Billy Dee writes Nightcrawler.
Ah, there we go. My 16.
Everything movies like network and broadcast news feared would happen has, and this is the perfect statement about that. Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Whereas like network news movies were like about how media is going to go. Mm-hmm. Nightcrawler is an exaggerated look at what media has become.
Yeah.
It's a satire of the current time as opposed to, you know, what's about to happen. Mm-hmm. And it's fucking, it nails it.
It's amazing.
It's so good. A little higher from my list. So by the time we get to it on mine, we're just like, yeah, Nightcrawler, we've talked about it enough. Your number, whatever.
12?
Here we go.
Snowpiercer.
Yes. So good.
I mean.
So good.
Come on. It's the train. It's everything. I mean, I don't want to. If you haven't seen it, I don't want to give it away because there's some pretty big things in there.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
But it was really. I mean, you know, it was dystopian future sci-fi. You know, great acting.
Chris Evans, Jimmy Bell, John Hurt. Your boy John Hurt.
Who's the guy up front?
Oh, we don't want to give away the guy up front. Wilford? You don't want to give away who Wilford is.
Oh, yeah.
Let people find out who Wilford is, because that's kind of fun. It's like, hey, it's this guy. Awesome. Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
It's a fun movie.
Number 12, Snowpiercer.
My number 12, Edge of Tomorrow.
Gotcha.
So fun.
It was.
You know, that's another one where, it's out now. It's out on DVD as Live, Die, Repeat,
and
Tom Cruise
dies so many times in that movie.
So many times. And he sucks at it in the beginning, and then by the end, he's such a badass.
Yep.
It's a fun movie.
It is.
I really want to see that one again. Definitely my number 12, for sure. My favorite movie of the summer. Definitely. Number 11, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes for Billy Dee.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I knew this was going to be good. What surprised me was how great it was.
No.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely awesome. Toby Kebbell as Koba, the whole Koba Caesar thing.
Yeah,
that
it was pretty good.
That made the movie pop.
Yeah,
I wish the human side was explored a little more.
Man,
you know, the Gary Oldman storyline.
You had Gary Oldman.
He was great. Funny how Gary Oldman started playing all these crazy characters: True Romance, The Professional, Fifth Element. Lately, it's been all Commissioner Gordon's and like this guy.
Yeah.
Even in this movie, he's a pretty reasoned dude.
Mm-hmm.
He's not that crazy, you know. He's not crazy at all. Actually, no. He's just doing what he thinks is best. How did that happen? Why did
maybe
Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy? He's the dude just blends into the background.
Yep,
that's what the character called for.
I mean, half the time he's just sitting there staring, not even saying a word.
Yeah,
he's like,
right, weird.
Yeah,
he used to be so and now he's
maybe
like,
as he's gotten older.
As he's gotten older, good old Gary Oldman. What was that? There's 11. Drew, 11.
Only Lovers Left Alive.
Oh, yes. Jim Jarmusch.
Vampires, once again, John Hurt.
It's such a cool fucking movie.
I mean, I really wasn't a fan of Loki before this, but now he's pretty
Tom Hiddleston?
Awesome.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
he's good. He's always been good.
No.
I've seen him in other stuff. And that, now
him and
now.
Tilda Swinton, they're both white enough to be actual vampires.
Perfect casting.
Absolute
maybe?
Perfect casting.
Yeah, for sure. I like
the soundtrack's awesome.
I like Anton Yelchin as the buddy who has to help out with he's looking for guitars and stuff and vintage guitars for Adam and Eve.
Yes, of course.
Little on the nose.
Whatever.
Some of the movies on the nose, you know.
But it's still a vampire movie.
The vampires as like heroin rock star chic type thing.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't feel like that. Groundbreaking, but still, it's fun. It's an awesome
movie. It's one of the better vampire movies that I've seen.
I can tell you, Billy Dee, not a fan.
Really?
Not a fan of Only Lovers Left Alive.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's Jim Jarmusch.
Yeah.
And he's the type of guy where his movies, either you're going to like him or you're fucking not.
Yeah.
I like Ghost Dog.
Yeah, Ghost Dog's awesome.
I like this.
Mm-hmm.
I do not like The Limits of Control. Did you see that one?
Yes.
A guy just walking around the city
and
drinking coffee.
Uh-huh.
No. And then eventually you get to Bill Murray at the end. And it's like, oh, it's Bill Murray. Dead Man with Johnny Depp. You see that one?
I don't think so.
Black and white movie where he gets shot like 10 minutes into the movie. And then the rest of the movie is an Indian dragging him through the wilderness. Mm.
All right.
Brings us to number 11 for me. Under the Skin.
Oh, nice. Made it's a little bit higher on mine.
Just a little bit. Under the Skin. One of the more original movies
more
I've seen
original,
in a while.
Probably the most original movie I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, it's just... It's so fucking out there.
Yeah.
And Scarlett Johansson is butt-ass naked.
She is butt-ass naked. That's great.
But even still, it's not like...
I don't want it to be like, that's the reason why I like the movie so
much.
But
no, it's not. It's just... And it's so weird, because the more I think about that, like, it's not... Like sexy, like at all, like it's more like confusing and exploratory.
Not for us,
like,
as the viewer. When she gets naked to be sexy for the characters in the movie. But the way it's presented to us, it's always in like that black room, that black space, or in the beginning in the all white space, like the Matrix,
or when she's staring at herself in front of the mirror.
Yes, right, and she's like super confused at that point in the movie. That's 2/3 into the movie. Yeah. You're just like,
what the fuck?
Yeah, absolutely. As part of my 2015 initiative to read books based on movies, I recently bought the book Under the Skin by Michael Faber, the guy's name is. So I'm gonna read that soon. I started reading American Sniper. I'm about 20 pages into it. It is one of the worst books I have read in quite a while.
Not in my life.
But
in a while.
In a few years, it is. But I'm gonna power through it so I can write about it for sure. Number
10.
Billy D. Billy, he cheated. Billy, you cheated.
What?
He gave us a twofer for number 10.
No.
You cheater. The Lego Movie / How to Train Your Dragon 2. I didn't see the first one.
Never saw the first one, so I didn't care about the second.
Billy D writes, I loved these. I saw a lot of animated movies this year, and these two were so much better than expected. I haven't seen that many animated movies this year, now that I think about it. What did we see? We saw Lego Movie. We haven't really seen anything animated that was a major release. There was no Pixar movie.
Yeah.
Was Frozen this year? Yeah. No, Frozen, or was Frozen last year?
I don't know. Frozen was this year.
Was it this year? Didn't see that. Didn't see How to Train Your Dragon. Nope. Really lacking on that. We didn't see the Box Trolls.
No, wanted to though.
We saw the Book of Life.
Yeah, which was awesome. That one almost made my list.
That's like a number 30 for me. Yeah. That's a damn good movie. Man, the Lego Movie and the Book of Life, are those the only animated movies we've seen this year?
I think so.
That might be.
Well,
getting old, bro.
Slacking.
Getting old. No. Getting old.
I love animation. I'm slacking.
Yeah, what was the one you wanted to see that we didn't see? And then it came out, you're like, ah, fuck that movie. What was it?
I forget.
Penguins of Madagascar.
Yes.
Which had horrible reviews anyway, so good thing we didn't see it. All right, Billy, love Lego Movie and How to Train Your Dragon 2. So that's his number 10. Drew, what's your number 10?
My number 10 is Lego Movie as well.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Yeah. Cool. I mean, hey, it's a damn good movie.
It's the Lego Movie. Yeah. I mean, come on, dude. Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of the team, Chris.
Like an earworm of a song.
It is. And they pointed it out. That was the point of that song.
Yeah. It gets in your brain and it takes over. It's so good.
It's so good. And seriously, the actual message, the multiple messages that there are in this movie, I mean, it hits you on all cylinders. It's funny. It's sad. It's heartwarming. It's an animated movie, but it's actually saying something.
Yeah, it is somehow. I mean, this is what I wrote
online.
There's
satire in the beginning.
Yeah, this is what I wrote online. It is somehow both simultaneously irreverent.
Yes.
And very emotionally heartfelt and sincere.
Uh-huh. Yes, at the same time. It is both silly and stupid and dick and fart jokes and some really smart things about society and relationships
that's
self-esteem.
That's 100% Lord Miller. If you go through it, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, the Jump Street movies.
Oh, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs once. Another one of those. They're just, oh God, hit it out of the fucking park.
Yeah, that's another one. And they had the same mix of... Like, here we have an actual message where, you know, a very heartfelt, sincere, just, you know, this is how you can be a better person message, coupled with awesome poop and fart jokes.
Yes.
And, you know, and like, and
monkeys ripping out the hearts of gummy bears. Yes. And then having the beat in his hand, Kano style from Mortal Kombat. I mean, come on.
So insane.
So great.
That was for kids.
I know.
Oh, my God. Okay, Lego Movie, so good. My number 10 was Snowpiercer.
Okay, gotcha.
Which we already talked about. Damn good. It's on a Netflix.
Watch it.
It is so good. Check it out. Number 9, Billy D, Captain America 2, which I believe the title is actually Captain America: Winter Soldier.
Correct.
The Winter Soldier.
Almost made my list as well.
Almost did it. Right?
Almost. Well, I'm.
Dude, it's one that I completely forgot about.
It's Redford.
I forgot that it came out in 2014. Redford. Yeah, Redford's great.
That's all I can say. That's all I have to say is Redford.
I like the 70s political paranoia thriller. Absolutely, yeah. Billy wrote, I legit like this movie a lot and have watched it a bunch.
Yeah, sure.
I haven't seen it since it was in theaters, but I definitely remember liking it. It's the, that one is the Russo brothers, who I think those were those the guys behind? No. They were, what show did they do? They worked on some TV show. Then they got Captain America, and then they're doing Captain America 3 Civil War, which is going to be fucking gigantic.
Yeah.
And then that's
going to be even bigger clusterfuck than...
That's going to be ridiculous. They're even trying to Universal. Marvel and Universal, they're in talks to try to get Spider-Man rights transferred
over. They've got
over
to if they want to do it right.
They don't have to. I read a convincing article online that... talking about how they could cut out Spider-Man from a Civil War storyline and actually would improve the movie.
Okay.
But they are like secretly, it's out there somehow. They're in talks to try to make that happen. That's another one though where it's like, you know, I liked it a lot when I saw it, but then when I started putting together my list, never even thought about it.
No.
Never even
I thought about it because what didn't make it.
It just didn't make it. Number nine. You're number nine.
Under the Skin.
Yes.
So like good. I said, it was higher on my list.
So good. People.
It's good. It's a weird, it's weird ass fucking movie.
It's weird, and you know what makes it so crazy? A lot like Upstream Color, which was one of my favorite movies from last year. There's no exposition.
No,
there.
It's up to you to decide what the fuck is going on.
Yes, you have to pay attention to the movie and follow the details and the characters, and you have to put it together over time. And people aren't used to that.
I had to watch it twice just to make sense of it. Just like Upstream Color. I had to watch it 2-3 times to be like, okay, I think I know what's going on here.
I had to watch Upstream Color 3 times, at least 3 times, and then I had to read several like articles, not reviews, but like straight up articles about it to be like, okay, I think I got it.
I got it.
And then I watched it, and then I was like, okay, now I'm ready to write my 3,000 word essay, I think. 2,500 words, 3,000 words. Yeah, it was ridiculous. It got tweeted out there by the Pig Doctor.
Yeah, very nice.
You put it out there. Under the Skin is that type of movie, people. So if they're not gonna like it, it's a possibility. That the style is just not gonna. You just won't like it because of the way it's made, because it's that singular.
Yeah,
but it's fine. Just give it a shot.
Try it.
Is what we're saying. Just the opening when the eyes being constructed and they're going through the mouth
talking,
sounds like,
yeah.
Oh my god, it's like, what's going on?
And it took me a while to realize what the hell was even I was seeing on the screen.
Yeah, exactly. At the end when you realize, oh, is that a
wait
is
a minute?
My number nine is Nightcrawler.
Okay,
love it. Yeah, so good.
It was.
We talked about it when it's on DVD. People check it out.
Yeah.
Number eight. Here's another one that I like quite a bit, but then I even think about it for my top 25. I can understand why Billy Dee would put in his top 10. The Babadook.
Oh, yeah. I could see that.
Right? Yeah. No.
Billy, man, Billy's
a horror guy.
That actually should have been my top 25.
You think you would have put in your top 25, really?
Yeah.
But you forgot about it, though.
Yeah. But now that I'm thinking about it.
Like, what were you thinking? Like, an upper 20s? Maybe in the teens?
Lower. Somewhere in the 20s.
Okay. Lower
20s? Yeah.
Okay. Well, Billy put it as number 8. The Babadook.
Actually, probably my 25. I probably would have switched out Cavalry for it.
Okay. All right. Would I have switched out Fury? No, I wouldn't have. It would make my between 26 and 30, I think. Maybe a little higher. Billy writes, is horror not scary enough for you? Not original enough? Do you hear yourself saying they don't make them like they used to? This movie is for you. Absolutely.
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely, for sure. Babadook is good. It's damn good. Jerk, number 8.
Foxcatcher.
Fuck yeah. Foxcatcher is what I'm talking about. It's so good.
Foxcatcher. I'm becoming a fan of... I like Channing Tatum. Not becoming a fan. I am a fan.
Hello, my name is Drew Zuckerberg, and I am.
I like Channing Tatum.
Hi, Drew.
Mark Ruffalo was awesome in the movie.
Yeah, he was.
And as far as I'm concerned, this was Steve Carell's Philadelphia.
Yeah, you know? Right.
This is gonna
this kind of acting coming out party.
Yeah,
he's been around for a while, but this is the one.
And this is exactly where he's like, listen, I can fucking act.
Listen, I got skills.
Yeah,
I can. And then you know what? with the nose and the teeth. The
prosthetics,
and the way he talks. It's like, this is such a, quote, performance.
Yeah.
But then I looked online on YouTube. There's a couple of things out there of John DuPont interviews with him.
Just like him.
Fucking nailed it. Nailed it. The guy was such a creep. Such an ugly looking weird creep.
Yeah.
And Crowell nailed it. So good.
So yeah, number 8, Foxcatcher.
Very good. Very nice. My number 7 is Interstellar.
Number 7. Awesome. We're on number 8, Chris.
My number 8 is Interstellar. I was looking at the number of pills. My number 7 is Foxcatcher. My number 8 is Interstellar.
Oh, really? Because my number 7 is Interstellar.
Okay, here we go. We're banging these fuckers out. Okay, so my number 7 is Foxcatcher. Number 8 is Interstellar. And you got the other way around.
Yeah.
Perfect. You got it out of the way.
Correct.
So we talk about Foxcatcher. It was great.
Yeah, Foxcatcher was awesome.
Interstellar.
Interstellar was freaking... It's Nolan, man. Yes. And, I mean, McConaughey. I mean, the whole... It was...
The
end was really weird. And the more I think about it, the weirder the end is. But it's still a great movie.
Oh, yeah. The whole use of the fifth dimension.
Yeah.
And, I mean, just a movie even attempting to make the relativity of time and dimensions of space and time.
Visual.
The way we perceive these things. Someone even attempting to make a movie out of that. In an entertaining way, not even a documentary.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna make a fictional story based on these concepts, and it
fucking worked.
Even halfway working would have been incredible. Yeah. But the movie fucking works. It's so good. Ah, I want to see it again.
Oh, definitely.
I want to see it again. And this is gonna be a shame when I watch it on a TV. Even like if I'm watching like 100-inch, like
still not big enough,
ultra high def TV, I'd be like, it's not a goddamn IMAX screen. Oh, beautiful, beautiful imagery. Okay, so number 7, Billy D. Ah, here's another one that it's like, I would have considered it. It's a little higher for me. Maybe a 30, 35 type of thing. The Raid 2.
It would have been in my 30s.
He writes arguably the greatest action movie ever made. That's how much he
John
liked
Wick.
It. That's how much he liked it. I would say
I counter with John Wick.
I like John Wick more than The Raid 2. The Raid 2 is fucking pretty bad.
It is, but it's not John Wick.
The Raid, I feel, was more like... it is what it is. The Raid Redemption, which is what's called in America. The first Raid is a tight little action movie. And I feel like The Raid 2 is that movie, but transposed on top of Heat. Where it's this big sprawling story about cops and gangsters and all this shit interconnecting and stuff. Not as successful as Heat, you know. I remember when the movie came out, we both saw it. I was definitely more into the actual machinations of the story than you were. You were like, yeah, I was waiting for the fighting. And I was like, I was kind of into the thing with the son and the father. But at the end of the day, it is really about the fighting and the action and stuff. Mm-hmm. So... But he puts that as number 7. So, and it is quite good. Fucking, I'm Gareth Edwards, this director dude. I'm waiting for him to get his first big American action movie. Mm-hmm. With lots of money. Someone give this guy lots of money.
Seriously, see what happens.
Just throw money. Yes, true. Throw money at him.
See what happens.
See what happens. So, well said. Give him John Wick 2.
Yeah, seriously. See what happens. What's the worst that could happen?
Drew, your 7 is Interstellar.
Yes.
And my 7 was Foxcatcher.
Yes.
Number 6 for Bill... Blue Ruin.
Oh, very nice.
He writes, melancholy, beautiful, shocking. So many reasons to see this movie. Why haven't you yet? Think of the doe-eyed revenge hobos.
Yes.
That's awesome. Doe-eyed revenge hobos. Yeah, Blue Ruin.
It was good.
Loved it.
I mean, number 14 on for me.
Number 14 for you.
I'm still getting to you, maybe.
Still a little higher for me, so we'll hold on to that for a second. Number 6, Drew.
Grand Budapest Hotel.
Okay, so that's where you're gonna put it. Okay.
Yeah,
you love that Ralph
Fiennes. I love Ralph Fiennes.
You got that Ralph Fiennes man crush.
It's just cool. One of those things, man.
I got the man crush on Oscar Isaac.
Some of these actors, they get me. You know, I like the Fiennes. I like the Channing Tatum. I like the Sam Waterston.
Oh, Sam Waterston. I like that Catherine Waterston.
What's
so
up? Do I. What's up?
What's up, Waterston? What are you doing? What are you doing, girl?
So yeah, Grand Budapest Hotel.
Damn good.
Number 6.
Damn good movie. And my number 6 is Selma.
Okay.
Because it is an angry fucking movie.
It is
an intense movie, and it is more than just a biopic or even a recreation of the events of the time, the Selma March. It gets into it's a procedural in terms of how do you stage a protest, why do you stage a protest, all that stuff. Passivity versus aggression. It's a document of the time. It's so many things. It's a portrait of MLK, but in a specific part of his life. Yeah. It's a lot of things going on in that movie. I think it's super well made.
It is. It was.
I love it. Just the way the movie starts. The way it started.
Yeah.
Literally with a bang.
Oh yeah.
I was like, whoa. This movie's
all right.
This movie is not fucking around.
Here we go.
I'm gonna just say it. When you start with a bombing that kills four little girls, you are not
fucking just a bombing,
around.
A church bombing.
A church bombing, and then you get to, it's like, let's hang out with these girls, yeah, and then fucking murder them in front of you.
Yeah.
This movie is not fucking around.
No.
So there you go. So number five, Billy. God damn it, this is one I've been wanting to see for months. We gotta rent it. We gotta do something. We gotta do this, Drew. Because I've heard nothing but great things. This Billy's number five. Cheap Thrills.
Oh, yeah.
David Koechner.
I've heard good stuff about it.
Why isn't everyone talking about this all the time? That's all he writes. All
right. We need to watch it then.
We need to watch it. I'm sure it's amazing. Yeah. If Billy likes it that much, I'm sure it's amazing. So we need to get on it. Number five. We're in the top five.
Yeah.
Drew, go.
The Rover.
Rover made your top five.
Yeah.
God damn, dude.
Fuck yeah, it did.
Wow. Okay. Explain why.
Why? Because it's fucking Guy Pearce, it's post-apocalyptic.
Yeah,
it's Robert Pattinson wasn't bad, and just the whole, I don't want to give it away for anybody who hasn't seen the movie, because
right.
I highly...
And at this point, likely, a lot of people have not seen it. A lot of people are like, what's The Rover?
It's Guy Pearce, it's post-apocalyptic Australia. Him and Robert Pattinson go on a crazy little adventure.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, you find out why. And the reason why Guy Pearce did all this shit is like the most amazing thing ever.
So
it's
simple.
Like, seriously? Wow.
It's like, this is it. That's what caused all of that.
Yes. Yeah. That is what caused all of that.
The Rover is damn good. It's escaping me now the name of the director of that movie. But he made a movie or two before that people love.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get on that guy.
Yeah.
I think he's an Australian fellow.
Yeah. The Rover.
And that's another one where, like, just like how we saw A Most Violent Year, that's A24 Productions is the company behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Annapurna Pictures. Whenever I see the Annapurna,
you're like, this
A,
is going to be good.
Yes. When I see
same
the,
thing, A24. Yeah.
I'm like, all right, awesome. I feel in safe hands.
Uh-huh.
Right? I feel safe. Number, that was number five.
Yeah.
My number five, we talked about it, Stoner Zodiac.
Yes, Inherent Vice.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we already talked about it. It's I'm a huge fan of Robert Altman's The Long Goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever watched that? The Elliot Gould movie? I'm a big fan of that. Obviously a big fan of Big Lebowski. Who's not? I've actually read the novel, Thomas Pynchon's Inherent Vice. You know what's weird? Almost makes me want to go back and reread the novel to see if it was that descriptive. I don't think it was.
Okay.
But there are images in the movie that feel like when I read the book, he pulled the images right out of my brain of what Gordita Beach looked like.
Yeah.
Yes, like the house, the everything. Everything was like, this is fucking amazing how he copied that shit. I can't believe it.
Oh.
It was so good. I love it. Great shit. Inherent Vice. Number four for Billy D., Birdman.
Ah.
My eyes are burning. We're playing chicken with this movie.
Hell yeah.
Looking for the cuts.
Yep.
Looking for the edits. If you know what to look for, if you know editing, you know, you can spot where, like, okay, here's an obvious edit. Here's an obvious edit. But it does, the whole thing looks like one take.
No.
It's so good.
It is.
It's so damn good.
Amazing.
You're number four.
The Guest.
Yes. Yes, The Guest.
Yes.
I didn't want to name drop it earlier, but like, what's the one we were talking about? John Wick.
Yeah.
I want what happened with the guest happened to John Wick. Every week now, I get tweets, Facebook messages, emails.
The Guest was so good.
The Guest was so good. Thank you for recommending it. Blah blah blah. John Wick's the same way, guys. Check out John Wick. The Guest, damn good.
John Wick was The Guest. Yeah, it was. I mean, it's The Guest.
It's so damn good. It was Drew's number four.
Yeah, it was.
My number four. We got a match with Billy D, Birdman.
No, oh, there we go.
I'm saying Birdman. Damn good.
It was. It was freaking amazing.
It was fucking amazing. Michael Keaton, great directing. The jazz drum score.
Edward Norton.
I actually listened to the soundtrack today.
Very nice.
I actually listened to it twice on a loop because it's pretty short. If you just listen to the drumming, it's on a loop. There are some like older compositions, like classical pieces that are on there that they use in the movie. Because those are on the score, the soundtrack was ineligible for an Academy Award for Best Score, which is the bullshit of bullshit.
Yeah, it is.
Because it's so fucking good. It's so perfect.
Fuck them.
Brings us to number three for Billy D. A goddamn other movie that I've been wanting to see but I haven't. It's on the Netflix now, so we have no excuse.
Yeah.
Now we're just being bad with our time.
Mm-hmm.
Frank.
Mm.
Michael Fassbender.
Yeah.
Billy writes, holy hell, Michael Fassbender pretty much can do no wrong.
That's, yeah. I mean, agreed.
That's the truth. That is the truth. All right, Drew, number three. Here we go.
Whiplash.
Oh, Whiplash. So good.
It is. I mean, for what? I mean, J.K. Simmons was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
For being what it is, I mean, it's just, man, it's fucking intense. Like, it was one of the most intense movies I've ever seen in my entire life.
Absolutely.
It was about a kid in drumming school.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah. it was a kid in music school. And
it was amazing.
It's incredible.
It was so good.
My number three is Blue Ruin.
Oh!
Which,
wow.
for Drew is number six. No, for Billy was number six. For you was number
14.
For me, it's number three. Because the movie was made for, like, I don't know, $200,000-$300,000. I mean, pretty much for nothing. Money. That is nothing to make a whole movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is tense.
Yeah.
First, it starts, like Billy said, melancholy. It starts slow.
Well, and the whole thing.
Deliberately paced.
And the when
and,
you first
and then it
start
starts ramping
when
up.
You, when you first start watching the movie, like, where I thought the movie was going to end was like halfway through the movie.
Not even. It's like 10 minutes into the movie.
And then
I know what you're talking about.
It just gets crazier.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. Like, I thought this is a movie that's going to build up to this moment. That moment is what
starts
propels the movie.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, it's so intense. It's so good. I love Blue Ruin. I'm almost at the end of my beer, so that's why now.
Blue Ruin.
I said Blue Ruin. That's why I said Bruin. Guys, I'm almost at the end of my beer. It was Three Philosophers. Got that quadruple ale with the 2% cherry ale. Yeah, Blue Ruin. So, all right, here we go. Number two. We're getting a little bit of overlap over here for Billy's number two, Whiplash.
Oh, there we go. He made number two on him.
He writes amazing.
It was.
J.K. Simmons is inhuman.
He is.
The drumming, the tension, so fucking good.
Agreed, Billy.
Agreed, Billy. Agreed. Number two, Drew.
Jodorowsky's Dune.
Oh, number two.
Number two.
A documentary about a movie that was never made.
You
want to
know why?
I do want to know
why. It's because every time I think about that movie, I want to see this movie that never got made.
It's like, it's almost heartbreaking.
It is. Like, without this movie.
Mm-hmm. Like, Jodorowsky's actual Dune.
Without actual Jodorowsky's Dune, if they hadn't tried to make this movie, then like an infinite number of things would have never came to be.
Right, all the influence.
Because everything that was supposed to happen in this movie got disseminated and spread throughout like 10, 15 other amazing movies.
Has there ever been a film? I don't think this is possible. It is the most influential non-movie ever.
Yeah, probably. And that's... Man, if you like movies and just know how they're made and want to know more about movies that never get made somehow, I mean, oh, man, it's just so crazy.
The one sequence where they talk about how Jodorowsky wanted to open the film with like a 2-3 minute continuous shot that went through space
and time, like,
and then
this was pre 2001.
Yes, this was a long time ago. They animated his storyboard so you can actually see the shot.
It was so awesome,
and they put some music over it, and I was like, oh, I want to. And it was just drawings.
I want
to
see that movie.
See this movie,
yeah.
And then the way he describes this, like, I wasn't making a movie. I wanted to make
a religious experience.
Yes.
Yes.
He wanted this to be like a coming of God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one has that ambition.
No.
You know, no one sees the art form in that way. And it's a shame because that could happen.
That's why it made my number two.
No, fair enough. Absolutely. Where was it for me? Oh, way up there. 16. But that was a damn good year for movies, so... My number two, I've been crowing about it for months, The Guest.
Yeah.
I love
The Guest. Yeah, there we go.
I love it so
much.
My
number four.
I've been listening to the soundtrack in my car now for the last few days, like over and over and over. Everything about it, the style. It is, The Guest is Halloween meets Drive times The Bourne Identity.
Oh, you said it.
I had to say it. At this point now, I'm saying it. It's on DVD. I'm saying it, people. It's Halloween.
It's plus crazy.
Drive X The Bourne Identity equals The Guest. There you go.
It's good.
So fucking good. Got it on DVD when it came out. I think I've watched it 2.5 times since then. It's only very been nice. A few weeks. I've already watched it a few times. So there you go. Number one for Billy D.
Billy D's best movie of the year.
Billy D's best movie of the year. I respect the man's opinion. If he says this is his favorite movie of the year. And then here's the thing. We're talking about our favorite movies of the year. Are we saying this is definitely the best?
No.
For us it is.
For us it is.
For us it is.
No.
So his number one, I'm fine with it. Because what other choice do I have?
No. Seriously. Right? Are you saying no?
Go fuck myself. Billy D's number one is Guardians of the Galaxy.
Really?
Yeah.
Go Bill.
Go Bill. He writes so much fun. This movie doesn't give a fuck.
No,
if you're ready for it, and I love that.
Yeah.
That's James Gunn.
Yeah.
That's the guy who made fucking Slither and Super. That's him, you know.
Yeah.
So he loved Guardians of the Galaxy. Shout outs Billy D. Mm-hmm. Drew, what is your number one movie of the year?
Birdman!
Yep. Yes, Billy D and my number four.
Yes.
Which is 1 through 5. It's so close, guys. So y'all might as well be 1A, 1B, 1C.
Yeah,
1B,
yeah, but know? For me, I mean, just, you know, the style, the storytelling,
damn
the shots, the whole thing. It was just, it hits you, it just smacks you in the face on all cylinders in this crazy style.
Yeah.
And it just kind of leaves you sitting there like, what the fuck was that?
What was
that? And the ending is completely ambiguous.
It is.
There are two options. For the ending. And
are there no...
Well, yeah.
I guess so.
Up or down.
Yeah, but she looks up. She's not in his fantasy. She's in her own world.
Maybe that's her fantasy.
Is it her fantasy? See, the movie's insane.
No.
The movie is insane.
Uh-huh.
But it's...
And that's why I love it so much. And that's why it was my number one movie of the year.
Damn good movie, Birdman. Drusa Cogburn's official number one movie of the year,
yeah,
Birdman. For Billy D... is Guardians of the Galaxy. For me, it is Whiplash.
Oh, there we go.
I fucking... That movie... No.
Kicked your ass.
That movie kicks your ass. When it ended, it was the type of thing where I was just like...
I wanted more. I actually wanted to see more. I didn't want it to stop.
I did. Yeah. Yeah. What happens next? Yeah. I don't know what happens next. What happens to these people?
Uh-huh.
I felt like if the movie had ended in a super violent way in either direction, I would be like, that makes sense. The way it ended, like the last 7 to 10 minutes, when it was over, I was like, I think I was holding my breath
the whole time.
That whole time,
yeah,
because it was just exhilarating.
It was good.
It was so good.
Really good.
It's a movie about a couple of fucking assholes. There are no quote likable people in this movie.
No.
Yet I find, for some reason, I find myself relating to them in weird ways because that's what cinema is.
Maybe the girl, she was likable.
Maybe the girl was likable, but yeah. She ain't your hero.
No.
Who is the hero of that movie?
There is no hero in the movie.
But are there? Are they both heroes? Who was right?
I think she was right.
J.K. Simmons was
there
right.
May be protagonists, but that doesn't necessarily make them a hero.
Anti-hero is what you're saying. Very true. Travis Bickle. Yeah, true. So Whiplash. I love Whiplash. And I did my top 25 is on chriscrespo.com. You can go there. And I wrote, you know, quick little blurbs about all the movies. And on, I think, like, out of 25, 23 of them, I wrote reviews of. I never wrote a review on Jodorowsky's Dune. So we're going to have to get that on DVD to watch it.
Okay.
So I can write something up on it.
Darn. And
I still have yet to write my Under the Skin review. Because I wanted to see it again a second time to write about it, and then I didn't write about it right away, and now I'm like, shit, now I need to see it again. But maybe I'll just wait and read the book and then do one of my book to film adaptation articles. There's another one I didn't write about, but most of my reviews are up there, so go ahead, chriscrespo.com, check that out. Here we go, bottom 5 of the year. Drew has a bottom 8. We're going to go through these. I'll do it this way. I'll do all of Bill's bottom 5.
Okay.
Then I'll do my bottom 5, and we'll close with yours.
Okay.
Billy D writes, number 5, his worst of 2014, RoboCop.
Uh-huh.
Sadly, a remake of my favorite film of all time wasn't worth the money they saved keeping his hand.
Yeah, nope.
I hated how his hand was sticking out like
that. It looked awful.
It was so stupid. So stupid. Number 4, Stage Fright.
Didn't see it.
I don't know what that is. I think it's a slasher movie.
Glad I didn't see it.
I think it's a musical slasher movie.
A slash of musical?
Yeah. Billy writes, I've recommended a horror film where singing men get horny, transform into leather bears, and rape dudes to death that was less gay than this.
I don't know, Bill. That sounds pretty gay.
That sounds pretty gay. And I think you mean I recommended a horror film in which singing men get horny, transforms into leather bears. Don't want to be a grammar Nazi, Bill. Number three for Bill, Brick Mansions. Which I didn't even bother watching.
Nope.
That Paul Walker, Luc Besson produced.
Don't care.
Yeah, Billy writes, awful, so bad. That's it, three words.
It's awful, so bad.
Awful, yeah. So bad. Number two, Knights of Badassdom, which is on the Netflix now. Billy writes, this is terrible. How did this suck so bad? Knights of Badassdom is, I think it's a LARPing movie. I think it's about LARPers.
Okay. Live action role players.
It's either about LARPers or it's generally like the Seventh Son, where it's about, it really is like an old timey, you know, swords and castles type movie with Peter Dinklage. That's the only other thing I know about it. And I also know that the movie was made like 4 years ago. What? And just finally came out recently because it was so bad. Billy actually saw it.
Poor guy.
And this is number two. And number one, this one, I don't even know what it is, but this is from a guy who saw over 500 movies last year. Odd Thomas. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. What a mess. This aims for so bad it's good, and that's sad. I think it sucks when a movie tries to be so bad it's good. You just gotta make your movie. If it ends up being so bad it's good, if that's a byproduct of it, then accept it. But you can't fucking go for that. You know what I mean? My top five worst of the year. Actually, do I have this in order? Yeah, this is in order. My number five, Winter's Tale.
Never saw it.
That movie is batshit insane. That one is almost so bad it's good.
Almost.
Because there are parts of it that are just fucking... Will Smith plays the devil. In the 1920s, he's wearing a Jimi Hendrix t-shirt.
What?
Russell Crowe is like kind of a demon guy where sometimes he yells and his face cracks open and there's a demon underneath. And there's a flying... There's Pegasus is in this movie, but it's never called Pegasus.
What?
And he's referred to as a dog.
Excuse me?
But Colin Farrell, his character lives for over 100 years. And he's... He has an apartment, but he doesn't have a library card because he doesn't have any ID, but somehow has an apartment. The movie is fucking horrible. It is so bad, Drew.
All right.
I watch that shit on HBO in parts and out of order, but I watch that shit. My number four, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Because we've had a number of Turtles movies made over the years, ranging from...
TMNT was awesome.
Yeah, ranging from to quite good. And it's been proven that you can make a decent movie out of this subject, and that movie was fucking horrible. It was so bad. They are making a sequel because it made so much money. Are you choking on some pretzel shells, peanut shells? This guy is devouring these peanuts over here.
Yep.
They're making a sequel that's gonna have Rocksteady and Bebop in it, and hopefully, some more craziness. And it's being made by different people, different writers, different director. So I'm hoping that the sequel will be better. We'll see. My number three worst of the year, Transformers Age of Extinction. It was, even for a Transformers movie, it was terrible. I mean, I was going into it ready for a level of badness, and it blew my badness expectations away. When Optimus Prime flew away with his rocket shoes into outer space at the very end of the movie.
The whole rest of the movie completely pointless.
You're like, why are you driving places? You can fly through outer space. Why are you riding dinosaurs, robot dinos? My number two worst movie of the year, Dumb and Dumber 2.
Oh, wow, you found something worse?
Yeah, Dumb and Dumber 2. Dude, it should not have been that bad.
It was awful.
It was fucking horrible. It was an anti-comedy. It was like, did Tim and Eric make this movie? Because it is not.
We'll talk about it more later.
And my number one worst movie of the year, I don't even know how this came out in the theater. This should have been straight to DVD. This should have been straight to TBS. Can you release a movie straight to cable? The November Man.
Uh-huh.
With Pierce Brosnan. Just for the line.
It was awful.
Like, you know why they call you November Man? Because when you come through...
Everything's dead.
Nothing lives. What does that have to do with November... Drew, give us your number five while I finish my three philosophers.
Number eight, Legend of Hercules.
Your number eight, that's right. Legend of Hercules, is that the one with Kellan Lutz?
Yeah.
You watched the whole thing?
I saw it on HBO.
I saw bits and pieces of it. You watched the whole thing?
Wow, was it bad.
Don't you feel like that's a movie they, it's like
he's not even actually Hercules, just like in the other one. Well, at least in The Rock one, he's actually Hercules.
Yeah, they call him Hercules. But this one, it feels like, what if this Hercules legend was based on a guy that had Downs?
Yeah, pretty much.
Kellen Lutz looks like the
he
whole
has
time.
He has Down syndrome.
Like he's, yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Number 7, 3 Days to Kill.
Oof. Yeah.
That's Kevin
like,
Costner.
That's like
movie.
My number 6, number 7. And I like Kevin Costner. Oh.
Awful.
Because the 3 Days to Kill thing kills me. Hell, it's like, no.
My number 6 was November Man.
Okay. That's because you like Pierce Brosnan so much.
I do.
That you can't let it drop lower than 6.
Nope,
I can't. You can't let it hit your bottom 5.
It's not allowed. Pierce Brosnan's awesome.
Your Thomas Crown Affair love has seeped into the November Man.
I really like that movie. Number 5, Need for Speed.
That one
was awful.
It is awful, but for me, that was more just disappointing than anything, because I felt, you know, the one scene where the guy starts stripping his clothes and getting naked, and the movie got fun for a second?
A second.
I felt like that should have been the whole movie.
Yeah, totally.
A fun movie.
Uh-huh.
And instead, it was just a dour, horrible piece of...
Number 4, RoboCop.
Horrible.
Awful.
The worst.
Number...
The opening scene. Where the people suicide bombed the Ed 209s, yeah. and the news footage, I like that. I was like, this movie has something on its brain.
It had for a second.
And then it went downhill. And then the other scene where actually Elijah talked about on the one show we did earlier with him, where he's mentioned the RoboCop, that when they show him and they take away his body,
yeah.
and it's just a head and some lungs.
Cool.
I was like, this is some fucking Cronenberg type shit, yeah. right here. But then again, like you said,
it stopped.
That was like a minute.
Yep.
So 4 minutes out of a 2-hour movie?
Not worth it.
Go fuck yourselves.
RoboCop people. Number 3, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Okay, yeah, you agree.
It was awful.
I mean, just like on a level of holy shit.
Yeah, like holy shit, this is awful.
Like, wow.
Like, I was really hoping for a sequel to TMNT, and that's not what we got.
Oh.
TMNT was probably the best Turtles movie that's ever been made.
Yes. Yeah, easily. The original ones, like the 89 one, I think it's 89-90. I mean, what really holds that one up is the Stan Winston, the costumes,
yeah.
the effects work. They managed to have these guys walk around in turtle costumes and still have mobility to do kung fu and
yeah.
shit, you know, karate. The story was like, whatever.
It wasn't about that.
They had and you know what also made that movie awesome? Elias Koteas was Casey Jones.
Yes, he was.
Elias Koteas is a fucking badass. But yeah, TMNT, the animated one. What was that, like 08, 09, something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
It's been a little while now since that one came out.
Yeah, but it was good.
Yeah, especially compared to this one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Oof.
Number 2,
oof.
Million Ways to Die in the West.
Ah, you know what? That's the one I keep forgetting.
Fucking stinking.
I feel like that was a 2013 movie.
Fast of it. Oh, God, it was so bad.
It didn't help that they gave away the best joke in the commercials, the Doc Brown Back to the Future 3 joke.
That was the only good joke.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, you know this movie sucks when they were giving that one away.
And number 1, Dumb and Dumber 2.
Oh, it was your number 1, yeah.
Worst movie I saw in a very, very long time. It was just, it was anti-funny.
Astoundingly like, bad.
I really, really wish I could get my time and money back.
I felt the same way when I saw the Dumb and Dumber, the prequel that they made a while ago. I saw that with my brother at the Dollar Theater.
I'm sorry.
Not only was it the Dollar Theater, Drew, we saw it on 75 Cent Tuesdays.
And you still wanted your time and
money
back.
I wanted my 3/4 back, bro. Give me back my 3/4. I'm going to go buy a soda, and that'll be better than fucking sitting through that garbage.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
How awful it was.
Why? Why is it so hard?
It just is.
Why can't they all be Lord Millers?
Because then there'd be too many good movies.
Billy Dee finishes up with his honorable mentions for the best of the year. Edge of Tomorrow, Snowpiercer, X-Men, Days of Future Past, Interstellar, movies we all talked about, and The Sacrament, which is a Ty West horror film, which is on the Netflix. Billy finishes, I'm going to stay cozy while the fog conditions worsen here at Fort Awesome.
Bitch.
Stay cool, friends, Billy D. Thank you, Billy. We appreciate it. So there you go. So to wrap up, best movie year for Billy, Guardians of the Galaxy. For me, Whiplash. For Drew, was
Birdman.
And you know what? What did I say?
Hey, Boogie Sun.
My beer is done. That means the show is over. Drew just ate. You should see the pile of peanut shells in front of this guy.
They were delicious.
For the last 10 minutes.
No, I'm like, sucking on the salty shells.
For the last 10 minutes, they're like, what's that sound we've been hearing? It's Pizza Peisenberg, PJ in Denver. We're sorry for Billy's ambient noise. At least it's not a clicking box cutter this time.
Nope.
But I'm sure.
This time it's peanuts.
I'm sure you're driving PJ.
Crazy. I was hungry, man. I can't help it. I'm hungry.
Okay. All right, show's over. Let's get some dinner. Guys, thank you very much. Drew, thank you.
Very welcome.
ChrisCrespo.com. That was the best of the year, and we are out of here.